from New York City.
The Comedy Cellar and Rethink Production present
Live from America Podcast.
We will make America great again.
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
Live from America Podcast.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
No. Excuse me. Just so you understand.
We can't be the stupid country anymore.
Live from America Podcast.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like, or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, or Hispanic or Asian, or Native American, or young or old, or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
It's just words, folks. It's just words.
This is Live from America Podcast with Noam Dorman and Haddam Gab.
Hello and welcome to Live from America Podcast from the Comedy Cellar. I'm here with Boris Hyken, comedian. How you doing?
Good.
Welcome
how are
back.
You?
Comedian Modi back all from right. Israel tour. How was it?
Amazing.
Noam Dorman, obviously. And our guest is Mr. Rafael Shimonov. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
And he's an activist and recently working with Michael Moore in Fahrenheit 11.9.
A little. Not on the movie, but yeah. But digital.
Yeah, digital stuff. What's the movie about?
The movie, it's packaged the wrong way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's packaged to look like a Trump movie. He's in it for 15 minutes. It's about what we did wrong, what the Democrats did, what Obama did, what Michael himself did to kind of create the environment that brought us Trump. And he highlights young leaders around the country who are kind of flipping it.
I have a question. Yeah. Would a thing that people did wrong, like, would an example of that be packaging a movie to look like it's about Trump that's not even about Trump?
Yeah, I don't know if that
like
was
his lesson.
I don't think that's his. I'm not sure that was his call, but
of course, it's his call.
But yeah, definitely, I wouldn't. Rear view mirror viewing.
Who's pulling the giant strings controlling Michael Moore?
There's a lot of people involved in all this, those things, as you know. But yeah, definitely, it's something you'll. It's kind of weird to be able to go in thinking you've hit the limit of being angry, and then he kind of brings you like a new level.
Angry about what? About
about Flint, about greed, about the media, about things that contributed to kind of make Trump bigger than what he really is, you know?
About winning.
About winning the minority of the vote, yeah.
I mean, bigger than what he is. He's the president of the United States of America.
His personality was outsized because he represents a lot of our shortcomings as a culture, as a society. And we kind of celebrated that a lot. He blames himself in it. He blames NBC and, you know, and things that people do every day. He blames Hillary, Obama, everyone. Yeah. No one's hands are clean, you know.
He being Michael Moore.
Michael Moore, yeah.
Right. Okay. You were saying before, you know, Trump and Trump was blaming all those people.
So you're an activist for gay rights.
You better be.
Sorry, no. What's your cause?
There's different different things.
What are you selling?
I primarily come from electoral politics, so we do. Working Families Party, which is a third party that doesn't act as a spoiler for Democrats, but
how does that happen? You have no candidates.
we got
Cynthia Nixon or what?
we did endorse Cynthia, and she was early supportive of ours. Democrats.
So how are you third party? She's a supporter of yours.
We primary Democrats.
So how does that not act as a spoiler?
Because in a Democratic closed primary, you can't really spoil. What you do is you try to pull them left, and you bring in a more left.
So that's right. That's the act as a spoiler that way.
So then, if the Democrat who wins, we support at the end against the Republican.
Right, but you brought in a candidate who's less likely to win. You pulled them left. Obviously, the more moderate candidates are better.
That's not true.
Really?
No. Ocasio right now just won. Is she very?
Yeah,
moderate?
She won in a Hispanic district, but let's see. Yeah.
Which is what 40% of districts now. So like, yeah.
Not the ones I'm living in.
Yeah. on purpose or just by accident?
Oh, if what you you're right. It's not always. I would not say 100% of the time pulling somebody left. Yeah, me, Joyce. You know, you're right.
Great Neck, New York is not 40% Hispanic.
Depends where you are. Like if you in that back to the movie too. Not that I'm just trying to put in this movie everywhere, but he does talk about how America is a liberal country, is a left country that does believe in universal health care, debt-free college, all of those ideals, and somehow we've been...
Free speech.
Yeah,
presumption of innocence. We believe in those things still?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like we do.
Where?
How about Louis C.K.'s right to
I'm saying we
believe in Louis C.K.'s mm-hmm. right as an unaccused, free person walking around. Do we believe in his right to...
He's accused.
To work?
He's accused.
Not accused of a crime.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There was a time when the left would have, like a labor union, mm-hmm. a labor union would never allow a clause where somebody could lose their job based on an accusation or even something they agreed to that they admitted 15 years prior as told in the New York Times. That's not a very left-wing position.
In the context of a labor union, they're identifying things that management use and manipulate to fire someone. So they want to build as much safeguard around that employee
that's a left-wing cause.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a labor contract? Like Ted Alexandro, the guy who blasted us, he tried to start a comedy union. And I said to him, Ted, if you had gotten your union off the ground, do you think you would have allowed me to fire Louis? Of course not.
That's a funny point.
I mean, am I wrong? He would never. They would never allow such a thing. If they had an agreement that could bear on that, which, that's a hypothetical, they would have never said, yes, if you read something in the New York Times about something they did 15 years earlier in someone else's workplace, that's perfectly valid.
He wouldn't be fired, but he would be placed on a paid leave.
Yeah, exactly. That's how
you got a you got a rubber room?
The rubber room, yeah.
But so, I've been actually doing my homework and listening to some of the... your last few podcasts. Oy. And I was actually
this one or his?
He's pretty impressed. I was impressed with the dialogue you brought on and how you actually evolved and other people on the show evolved back and forth and were challenged, and at the end everyone was just like, really, I don't know, this is new ground. That was amazing. One thing I did notice that wasn't mentioned at all.
You're just setting us up. I thought
I know. And at the end, hummus.
No. I was impressed by it. I think your dialogue there was where the dialogue is. Okay. And that's the most honest place you could be. To pretend that we have it all figured out one way or the other isn't. I do like what one of the women on the show were saying about restorative justice and that thing and opposing incarceration and all those kind of things. But one thing that wasn't mentioned, I thought it just occurred to me earlier, was he didn't just get on. He got on unannounced, which is normal when people are working things out. I enjoy
I didn't mean
Wolf.
To drag this into Louis. I was talking about how the left wing has changed.
Yeah,
but, no, but, I didn't. I'm tired of talking about it.
But one thing that wasn't mentioned in those episodes was that he used a rape joke on his debut back.
Yeah.
That to me... It could just be this innocent, weird timing thing of it, or it could be someone who's sick,
or it could be comedy,
who's completely just owning you,
you really do sound like a First Amendment guy,
who's dominating you. No, he could say whatever he wants.
It's like him walking into your editing room and telling you how to edit because you jerked off in front of a girl. He's doing comedy.
Yeah, no,
that's what he does.
To be clear, I don't totally disagree with you.
That was disconnected
in some way, but not disconnected. But it was. My explanation for it is that I think that it basically has not turned on the radio or listened to the news since last November, and he's not quite. I think he's learning now that he's back. No. Where what the temperature is in terms of people's attitudes, I think he didn't realize. I just think he didn't realize.
Yeah. That's a possibility.
He's too smart to.
That's certainly possible.
Well, he hasn't. He hasn't made that joke since.
Yeah. Right, because it's not a freedom of speech thing. It's more want to be able to read the tone of the room, and right now the room extends outside of the room, the physical room.
Yeah.
That was deep.
That was deep.
That was pretty deep.
For a guy wearing shorts.
I think he just justified
it. It's a podcast.
Beard.
The camera doesn't go below the table. Boris has a very high
today.
Boris has a very high on base percentage.
one of your my favorite groups that you're part of is if not now.
Oh, yeah. This would be an interesting conversation because you said you just came back from a tour in Israel. Right. If not now, is
Hillel.
A group of... Well, it's not Hillel. There's a lot of members that used to be in Hillel that are...
No, if not now is the sage Hillel.
If not now, when?
Yes, the quote comes from
myself.
Yeah.
Hillel.
Very good.
Can
you
explain
what that means? Yeah.
That means...
If not now, when?
Yeah.
And if not,
what means.
If
all not this me, for who? Not now, now when?
If not now, when are you going to finish that quote?
So, yeah, tell us about it.
So it's a group of young American Jews, almost all younger than me.
Smart.
Who want to be the generation that ends American support for the occupation. And that's as simple as that.
I was talking to Raphael about this. I was like...
I think we were set up today.
Yeah. I was talking to Raphael about this. God. I feel... I don't know if Noam...
Thank God Louis didn't say anything like that. Otherwise, you're right out of here.
I think the younger... I don't know if Noam agrees. I think he does. The younger generation... doesn't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
You know, like the older generation and the middle generation, they know, they have a point regardless if they're with you or without you, you know, but the younger ones, they just want to talk. They have no idea what's going on, you know. So I was telling him, it's like, you guys educate him because we have a couple of guests here and they have nothing. And he's like, yeah, we do a lot of this. Can
you
explain that?
But you didn't bring If Not Now people.
Not If Not Now people, but
our members are very highly trained.
If you were the... not just the Prime Minister of Israel, the King of Israel.
The King.
And you had the power to do anything that you wanted.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Besides canceling Modi's tour. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
So is that a question to me as someone who's Jewish?
No.
Or is that a question like...
As someone who has a point of view. You're concerned with morality.
The King of Israel.
You want to end the occupation, I presume, because you think it's morally bad. So.
Am I the king of just the Jews or the Palestinians and everything?
No, you can control Israeli policy 100%. Mm-hmm. Your will is now Israeli policy. What would you do to end the occupation?
My first step would be to remove the settlement.
Okay, and then what?
And then do what every democracy has to do, where every person has a vote and everyone has an influence in directing.
In other words, you would.
Well, they're going to have to decide. We're going to have to decide if we are an occupying force or if we're one state or two states.
Decide. I'm telling you, you get to decide. You create the policy.
So this is my policy. I would ask Israelis and Palestinians what they want. That's my policy.
That's not a policy.
You tell them what they want.
What do you think?
Go ahead, man.
I'm asking someone who's an activist in this cause. But that's
who
not
wants
how
any occupation. You're a saint now. Do you have any?
Hold on.
Because this is what I find every time I meet somebody like you.
They really don't have an idea.
You have no fucking answers.
Right.
Now you can pull all the settlements out of the West Bank, and you know,
and you still won't get peace.
Hold on. That's fine with me. But now you still have an occupied territory filled with Palestinians.
What would you do as king?
No, don't flip.
Well, it's because it's like a... Listen.
I'll tell you what I would do.
Go ahead.
I would do nothing because there is nothing... I would say there's nothing I can do.
So that's not a cop out.
Can I tell a story about... I was in Israel and we had a... I wasn't finishing my answer. I know, but...
Go ahead.
You're right.
When was the last time you were in Israel? When was the last time you were in Israel?
I'm not allowed in Israel.
You're not allowed in Israel?
My parents had a choice when we fled Uzbekistan to go to Israel. And a rabbi who stopped us in the airport told us, do you want your kids to live up in war their whole lives? Because you have a chance, you can go to New York. I can give you my friend's name. And my father decided at that moment to go to New York.
Okay.
Wait, so you're not Jewish?
I am Jewish.
So what's your real name?
Rafael Shimonov. It's O-V, it's Shimon.
Oh, so why aren't you allowed in Israel?
Because of activism. They're not allowing many people in now.
So you think you're not allowed, but you don't know. Nobody told you you're not allowed there.
I'm pretty sure. There's lists that we already have access to that they use that are funded by right-wing
Americans. I was in Israel, and I had a show in Jerusalem, and then I had a day between the two.
Yeah, we heard about your Israel shows. Go ahead.
I want to hear.
Uh-huh. Okay, shut up. So we go from Jerusalem. I'm with somebody who's not Jewish, and their first time in Israel. Okay.
I'm at the edge of my seat. Go ahead.
So we go to the hotel lobby. We order a car service, you know, to bring us to the Dead Sea for the swimming and do all the spa shit.
Can you give more details?
Right. So the cab pulls up, big nice Mercedes, and I'm explaining to the guy. I'm explaining to him, you know, that this driver is Israeli.
Oh, Israeli.
He's an Israeli, but he's a Muslim. He's an Israeli Arab. And I was explaining to him, and we were talking to the driver as well. You know, he grew up in Israel. He was happy. He votes. I asked him, did you do the army? He goes, I did for 2 years. I did the army. He goes, but his brother didn't do the army because he has a choice whether to do or not to do the army. And they were.
Now wait, I tuned out for a second. Can you start over?
So then we're driving down. and there's one point where you're literally at the border with Palestine.
You know, you could have started the story right here.
Yeah.
No, but
I mean, in a cab. We were almost at the border with an Israeli cab driver.
People don't really understand. Yeah, this guy is an Arab and lives in Israel with the full access and rights of Israel. Uh-huh. Health insurance, college, whatever, all that education to whatever kind of school he wants to go to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
but they are second-class citizens in certain ways, no?
He says his best friends are all Jewish.
Yeah,
and
that
they,
doesn't make him a first-class citizen.
He just want a better tip anyway.
No, it was just you know, when you explain this to people that they like, huh? And then we drive by the borders, and I was explaining to him. I go, do you feel bad for the people that are there? He goes, no. The people want to blow the places I work up at.
Yeah. Well, that you are getting to what my next answer to him was going to be, that if I don't know what I would tell anybody in Israel to do, because I don't know what they can do. I've heard nothing. What I would tell the Palestinians to do is easy. Go to the Israelis and tell them, Give us back to 67 borders or whatever it is, and Gaza and West Bank, and make sure that we have access to all our holy sites in Jerusalem. And we promise you, we're going to live side by side as peace and brothers, and we'll never have war again. That's what I would do. And you know what? They would get it like that.
So you don't think they're...
And that to me is the essence of the Arab-Israeli conflict. Nobody can come up with anything Israel can do.
So,
and the Arabs could have it if they wanted
In this country, we know that we have all these gray areas on the left and the right.
You're not in this podcast.
In Israel, that's true too. So it's not like it's monolithic Israeli. There are some Israelis there that believe and have in the Knesset have called for ethnic cleansing. There are officials that have done that who even have called.
What do you mean by ethnic cleansing? Killing them?
Yes.
No.
There's nobody there has.
Calling for genocide?
Yes. There's the Shas party. You can even vouch
for
this.
It's not killing
the
them.
The Shas party is not interested
they didn't,
in killing.
No, they did not say gather them up and put them in camps and kill them.
Oh, to the sea, they mean.
Maybe they want to throw them out of the country. No, not into the sea.
Yes, right. They even say that if they humiliate an IDF soldier, they should be assassinated, children.
I'm okay with that.
No, I'm not okay with that. But I am. Killing someone for humiliating?
I don't know what humiliating means. If he's going, blah, 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 no.
Humiliating would be me not intervening to let you correct what you just said.
The video of that guy that was teasing the soldiers.
That was a serious conversation until a minute ago.
The boy.
Go ahead.
Was it a boy?
The child who was teasing him with like some stones. He was assassinated.
Some stones.
Yeah, some rocks.
Some, really?
Yeah, to a tank.
But he got
no,
a...
No, then that's not the video. The video is by the Jaffa Gate. The other one, where you go downstairs and right by the... Well, you wouldn't know. You weren't there. Anyway, so the soldier was standing there, and these guys just started to push him and tease him.
You know who's there? There's a group called Breaking the Silence, and I have friends in there. They're all IDF soldiers who exactly would say what I'm saying right now.
Okay.
So it disqualifies your whole point.
Listen, I didn't serve there. I don't know, so I'm not... I don't live there.
These are people who serve there.
Okay. Yeah.
His point is not every Jewish person is just one piece. Just
why
like,
didn't you serve? I thought they allowed. Oh, never mind. Go
ahead. Oh no.
Well, look,
his point is not every Israeli is one piece. Just like you.
I mean, there's racists and assholes in every country.
That's exactly what he's trying to say.
Which is fine.
As soon as we want it, it's going to happen.
But it would. You don't have to have 100% agreement from Israelis. The point is that, look, in when Clinton was president, Arafat walked out. When Bush was president, Abbas walked out when Olmert was prime
Do
minister.
Do we always just take these official stories? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Hillary on Leno or whatever it was.
Yeah. John Stewart.
John Stewart. She goes, I was in the room.
Dennis Ross said it. Bill Clinton.
They've all never done anything for Palestinians.
Why, this is where I see bias. Bill Clinton obviously wanted to settle this. He was in the room. He says Arafat walked out and didn't even give a counteroffer. Wait, hold on, I'm not finished. Right. Now, if you could show me some interview that Arafat said where he said, actually, no, I said if they gave me this, I was going to agree to it. No, you could interview Arafat till you were blue in the face. Mm-hmm. He would never tell you what it would take. No one ever heard anybody from the Palestinian side ever say any terms they would agree to. The Israelis, we know what they would agree to. Yeah. And they, being Jews, they probably agreed a little bit more than they claim they would agree to. But but in general, we know what. Yet people like you make this twist yourself into this. You know, I don't know what it is.
There's just another mistake you're making when you say people like me because there's so many gray areas.
Because you can
there's so
you,
much infighting.
I'm
going to
tell you why.
Group.
Because you can dismiss anything by saying, "Well, you really believe that?" Well,
oh yeah, of course.
I do.
No,
I do believe it, unless you can point to me some evidence that I shouldn't.
I could point
it's Bill
to
Clinton.
You, yeah, I could point to you like scholars that have pointed out that deal was a sham, or that
why was it a
or
sham?
Or even from this basic thing, I'm not gonna get the PDF now and go through it, but even
just tell me the bill, a full few
even,
bullet
so
points.
So like Taba Accords was actually the closest to a fair agreement, and they
why
the Israelis walked out of that one.
No,
and that was the closest.
No,
to
the Israelis
that.
Had never walked
but
out
we did
of anything.
Get it at the end.
If you remember, it wasn't Palestinian violence that
was
stopped
Egyptian.
It. Palestinian violence. The
I didn't blame it on violence.
The
violence
started
afterwards.
Yes, the violence started afterwards. There was but all it was
listen,
peace, and so, then it was violence
okay.
that was met to Palestinians.
So let me ask you. Let me ask you. If you had a bus, just the two of you in a room. And you said, listen, what would it take for you to...
That's how hard it is, because he doesn't even have legitimacy.
No, I'm asking you, what would he tell you? You say Mahmoud, between us, what would you agree to?
Yeah.
What do you think he would say?
I don't know.
Well, you should know. You need
it's not my country.
Yeah, but how can you...
My country is Queens, New York.
But how can this be... How can you take up this cause
my
without
cause
having
is
asked,
getting American
asked yourself
approval
the most
of-
basic...
All the United States does is veto anything that holds Israel accountable. Under Obama too.
No,
under Obama has
out.
Been unfairly vilified as anti-Israel.
He
was just
but on his way out, he abstained from the
yeah. He UN. Sent. He abstained, which didn't.
Well,
do anything.
You said vetoed, and I said not
but that
under
was
Obama.
A ceremonial vote. That meant nothing.
None,
the real
no vote means anything in the
oh,
UN.
Oh yeah, there would be sanctions. There would be things.
Oh, they're not going to have sanctions. No.
Yeah.
Why should they?
Yeah. I mean, settlements is one.
Really?
Deporting people based on their last name being the same as the suicide bombers, even if they're not even,
would,
you know,
would
like
you think,
pre-crime.
Would you think that that would be a...
The Africans, that's another example that takes it away from Palestinian and Muslim versus this. It's you had African immigrants in Israel who were vilified as the plague by officials, elected officials.
We should have sanctions for that.
And they're going to be deported where rabbis, Sarah Silverman's sister is a rabbi, major rabbi in Israel. She started to quote Anne Frank, saying she's going to hide black African immigrants in her house like they hid Anne Frank.
Hold on a second. I agree with everything
you're
saying.
She lives in Israel.
I agree with everything you're saying about what is wrong with that policy. No argument whatsoever for me. But the notion that the UN would start sanctioning Israel for that, when that is nothing compared to what goes on in the rest of the world.
Including
UN
members.
The slaughter, the bigotry, the ethnic cleansing, and that you're going to signal... Israel, because some official says this about somebody African.
No, official.
The
actual law.
Or the law. This is, I mean, go to, pick a country, any country, and you don't think you'd find worse?
In the real world, Israel and Saudi Arabia will never be sanctioned, no matter what they do.
Where are the sanctions in the, are there any sanctions on any Arab countries for the way they treat women?
Iran.
Not for the way they treat women.
I mean,
do you all want to treat women the same way? Come on, be honest.
Iran, the sanctions are well,
yeah.
But the point is, like, to focus
they took
on like
hostages and the sanctions.
Specifically, like, there's a lot of Jewish groups in America and in the world that deal with a lot of the stuff you're talking about, the technicalities and all those things. the if not now model is this, it's a more open tent. It's more about, do we want to support an occupation with our money and our with our influence, or do we not?
All right, fair enough.
You don't have to support it. We're basically saying we don't want to support. A lot of these kids are the kids of Jewish establishment, people who are in charge of like major Jewish agency, and these are their kids coming and marching in front of their door.
As you must know, there's terrible resentment within Israel for the settlements because the secular parents having their kids going to, yep, to defend this.
It's true, but it's becoming, the left there is almost gone.
The left got gutted when the Arabs walked out of the peace talks. That is when people said, oh, because up until when Oslo still had a chance of being successful, people were ready to be left wing. And then like Benny Morris. And then as soon as they realized, oh, my God, they actually don't want to ever have peace with us. Like, what are we doing? So let's just go on with our business.
It's always been a myth that a group of people never want peace with another group of people. It's a myth. There's a people in Palestine are more similar to me and you than we are to our leaders.
Is there a Palestinian?
And they are to their leaders.
So, you know what? Just point me to the quote of the Palestinian leader talking about wanting peace with Israel.
Why are they voting in Hamas then rather than somebody saying
there's people in the country who want it, but I'm not saying the leadership
there's everything. As we know, there's chicks with dicks. There's everything in the world. But the point is that, is it a critical mass? No, it's not. There's not a critical mass. Now, a critical mass in a dictatorship may be a very high bar, but the point is that, yeah, what about they elected Hamas? What did Hamas stand for? Never make peace.
My father was in the Soviet Union in order just to get your benefits. You had to sign up as a communist. You had to say you're a communist. My dad is not
pioneer.
A communist. You know?
And when I said chicks with dicks, I don't mean trans.
Right now, for free health insurance, right that I'm a communist.
I meant hermaphrodites, that kind of thing. There's something of everything in the world.
So, there is this...
Get so careful now.
You're going to bleep that out, your crazy line.
Go ahead.
There is this... Do you believe Palestinians have, another nation, have a right to have a militant arm, right? Like Israel would. I'm not saying in terrorism or anything, but I believe Palestinians and both Israelis engage in terrorism. One is backed by the state and one is...
This is what I believe.
Not.
In 1967, they attacked Israel. Israel asked them not to. And in that...
67? No.
Who's they?
The Jordanians.
67?
Okay. Jordan.
No. 1967.
Not Palestinian.
No. Israel attacked. 67.
No.
Jordan attacked Israel in 1967.
The Six-Day War.
Israel bombed Egypt's Air Force.
Yeah.
Jordan attacked Israel.
But Israel preempted what they saw was a military buildup around Egypt.
Nothing to do with Jordan. And in that, it didn't. And in that attack, the Jordanians got beaten back, and this land was occupied. And then afterwards, immediately, Israel wanted to go to the bargaining table to end it. And it was the three no's. No negotiation, no peace, whatever the three no's were. And since then, one Israeli prime minister after another has broken his head on trying to figure out what to do about this. And there is nothing about this, the fingerprints of how this happened, which I blame Israel for.
So if I were to go to
Jordan, as you know, Jordan didn't want it back.
Of course not.
They actually lost it and didn't want it back.
The war was won in 6 days. They say the war was won in 6 days. On the seventh day, it was lost. Because they didn't give to just say we want nothing to do with this.
Because there is this
and by the way,
this is part of an ideology there where
and somehow it's more than Israel to blame for this
by accepting people who have keys to homes in Israel proper, in Tel Aviv and in West Jerusalem and all over Israel, people with keys to their homes, deeds to their homes with their parents buried in the backyard, to take them as refugees would delegitimize the Palestinian cause. So they tried to maintain the power of refugee presence being ever existing. Like, as you know, another thing is UN is criticized for is perpetuating the definition of a refugee to be the son of a refugee, the grandson of a refugee, a great-grandson of a refugee for Palestinians. And this is unique for Palestinians to a large extent. And this is the result of Jordan and Lebanon and Egypt saying no. And Jordan actually was the one that accepted the most Palestinians. They're half Palestinians in Jordan right now. So they were actually the only Arab country that actually accepted many Palestinians. In fact, Palestinians before Israel were treated like Jews would be treated in the Middle East, like Kurds are treated in the Middle East. So in that way,
yeah, they were teamed there, up against there is, yeah, British occupation.
Yeah, there's this kinship that's natural that has not surfaced. There's the most in common. I would have been, if we didn't move to Uzbekistan back in thousands or whatever years, I would be an Iranian Jew. We would have fled Iran. We would have wanted to something like Israel for us to define our self-determination, of course. And I like just everyone at this table would support Kurdistan doing the same thing and defending themselves and that kind of thing. The question is, are we really sitting at this table and thinking that the same kind of nefarious forces that are at play in this country...
Nefarious means like evil. I have to go ahead.
The same kind of forces that are at play in this country, good and bad, are not in play in Palestinian society and in Israeli society. And that we keep saying, we keep making this binary thing. When it's
and no, the story that Modi said about the cab driver, it only shows that
that's
there's
such a good story.
Can
I tell my wife that story?
I know I'm going to tell all my friends.
That's a real story.
But that story about the driver himself, it gives point to the Palestinian. There are people like this driver who wants to live in peace.
Well, there's over a million.
Yeah, he
Muslims
just doesn't have the leader
Israel.
To follow. You know, that's it.
But they, like you said, Noam said, I didn't have to say it, that they're second class citizens. This is very true.
You know who didn't say it? The driver.
No,
I mean,
you talk to Mustafa. Talk to Mustafa about some of the stories in his lifetime being an Israeli
he was
Arab.
From Palestine. He was from
he's Israeli Arab.
He's Israeli
there's
Arab.
There's some prejudice. I went and I had the soldiers there talk about how like sometimes there's similar like police brutality and there's incidents where people just don't empathize as much with
of course
when the victim is
now
Israeli
I will
Muslim.
Say this. It is it seems to be worse than I remember it as a kid, and I remember when I went back to Israel. This was like in the 80s. I spoke to the old lady who lived upstairs at my grandmother's house. She must have been her late 70s at the time. And she, even back then, she was already lamenting that the young Israeli generation was much harsher in their attitude about Arabs than the older idealistic generation had been. But I think on the other hand, for a nation where these people are sympathetic to the people that blow up their children on buses, blow up their children in schools, throw children out of kindergarten windows, this kind of thing, as a human dynamic going on, you really couldn't expect much better from the human race wherever you see it. You can't have a population of people living with another population of people where one side is sympathetic to that kind of slaughter, and the other side.
Say
against
that,
it. So,
but use
so
the same thing is, again, but
yeah,
flip it.
Yeah, yeah,
too.
No, I was about exactly. to say, but this is just human nature. Yeah, so that's why I think it's not fruitful to zoom in so close on specific incidents or whatever it is, or to get defensive and try to claim, no, the Israelis treat everybody well or the Palestinians treat everybody badly. I think that everybody knows the two-state solution is the only answer. And I see that the only impediment to a two-state solution right now is an Arab leader who wants, in good faith, to make it happen.
So right now, the biggest people who are vocally against two-state solution are the right-wing Jews empowered by Trump. They're doing every step now, accelerating, because it's like a kid at a candy store right now.
Listen.
They're going to get things that
is
not
for
the
good.
Yes, it is 100% true. Changing the embassy unilaterally without it being part of a negotiation.
How does that affect two-state solution?
Because it erases Jerusalem as a capital of a future potential capital for Israel. It's without negotiation.
They didn't put it in the Arab part of Jerusalem.
But you didn't point that it's going to be two parts of Jerusalem.
Oh, they're expanding.
There was always going to be two. There was always going to be two parts of Jerusalem.
You could Google pictures right now. Anyone listening can Google settlement on top of Palestinian home in East Jerusalem, where you have a settlement literally on the roof of a Palestinian home in East Jerusalem.
Dude, every day you're right about this. Every day that they don't come to their senses and want a two-state solution, these settlements are growing and reproducing.
So, do you think that's their purpose?
It might be in some I don't know anymore. I remember years ago hearing the argument that the settlements were good because it would put pressure on the Arabs to make peace. But this is always the irony. These were always the arguments I heard going back as a child. It was always, how do we get them to make peace? Well, one way we might be able to get them to make peace is that if they see the settlements growing, they might say to themselves, oh shit, we better make peace before it's too late because they're growing. That didn't work. But the motive, but the argument was always, how do we get them to the table? How do we get them to make
it's
peace?
It's very simple, very easy.
Gush Katif, when they gave him the settlement, you know, no, there was a big settlement.
But Israel raised all the settlements out of Gaza, all of them.
Yeah, but that's true, 100%. I was actually quite happy about when they did that.
And how did it turn out?
It turned out in a siege around Gaza, where even yesterday,
two days ago, it turned out with rockets and munitions.
Siege came.
You're not entitled to your own facts.
I saw the videos.
You're not entitled to your own facts.
I saw them.
They left Gaza with infrastructure, with the greenhouses.
There was anecdotal stories like that.
Come on.
They didn't destroy their greenhouses.
Show me that it's anecdotal.
The Gush Katif of three factories.
2 hours of electricity a day.
They
can produce
their
own electricity. Nobody's stopping
them.
They
blew it all up.
This week alone, they cut the fishing area.
30%. Are you capable of looking at something from both sides?
Absolutely. Look at Israelis, I see my family.
What would you do? Really? You see your family?
My family live in Israel.
How about see your family and your nieces and nephews with...
I'm more related to Palestinians than
matter.
You.
How would you like it? What would you ask of your government if you saw missiles coming down on the schools where your little children... are going to school.
Who made those missiles and who gave them those missiles.
And you know who's shooting them.
Yeah.
We don't have missiles that go that far.
And what would you do? Would you say, listen, we just have to sit here and take
it? Was a missile coming from an open air prison of people who are 40% children?
Maybe.
That's 40%
whatever
children.
Whatever you want. But it's your children.
From an open-air prison.
Whatever you...
I would wonder why they're trying to get out.
You can wonder. You can say anything you want. But it's your children who are about to be killed.
I would protect my children.
You would protect your children.
I would
move them
and protect them. And then I would wonder...
Oh, you would move them. And what if the missiles then went to the next spot?
We would protect everyone. And then I would ask why...
So easy. Just protect them.
Why
I think
is
this
there,
is what they're trying to do is protect them, no?
No,
it's not. Then that's so that when they return fire, it's not to protect them.
Both the right wing in Israel and Palestinians and throughout the Middle East are encouraging this. Everyone's profiting. All the wrong people are profiting. All the people who are suffering from it are just like each other.
So you're saying that Israel pulled out of Gaza, they raise all these settlements. Sharon went through all this political nightmare after Rabin was assassinated, by the way, all so that they could have a siege of Gaza and give them no electricity.
Look up the video of Netanyahu.
Hold on, I'm asking you, I'm saying, does that make any sense? Do you really believe that the intention...
Context.
The intention of pulling out of Gaza was to then lay siege to Gaza?
The intention was to create the argument for you that you're using
that
right
was
now.
The intention. How about the intention
like,
was...
Look at these savages. They can't have their greenhouse. They can't have...
That makes perfect sense.
You're really nuts with that.
Have you watched the Israeli soccer game?
They pulled all those...
How they talk about Palestinians?
You pulled all...
Do you imagine the NFL coming and saying, gas the Arab...
They pulled all those settlements... With all that flack, you saw the video of that.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
They did all that just to have this argument.
You were happy from the videos of Gush Katif when they gave the buildings. They ripped Israelis out of their homes.
I was being sarcastic. It made me cry because the religious settlers are manipulated because they're poor with tax incentives to move into those places by the government.
Now, how about this? I'm going to say what the intention was. They pulled out. They see the demographic writing on the wall. And Sharon said, we need to get out of this. So we're going to pull out of Gaza. And
if that works out,
we're going to pull out of the West Bank too and just let them have everything back. And obviously, Sharon wanted Gaza to work out more than anything because he didn't want to go down in history as a failure. He wanted Gaza to work out. Obviously,
Sharon's last warning.
It is willful ignorance or I don't know what to call what's going on in your head to think that actually Sharon pulled out of Gaza with the intention of wanting to look like a schmuck, wanting to be vilified, wanting to see his avail. And I mean,
he said why he did it. On his deathbed, he was saying this is not
he
his
was never
contested.
On his deathbed. He had a stroke.
This is contested, you know, on his
no,
his
there was no,
days.
There
yes.
was no, he, there were no statements on his deathbed. The
he
man had a
statements
stroke.
Warning us, and
but
many
you're
prime
making
ministers,
it up. He
wait,
was no deathbed
wait.
Statements from Sharon.
Many prime ministers, you look it up. You'll
am I
verify.
Mistaken here? Didn't he have a stroke? He was.
It's not. I'm not saying in the moment, like in a movie, like in a Hallmark.
He never
movie.
Had any sick bed statements.
No, but you said it like he literally he was sick. Before checking out.
He was a sick person. He was already talking about the legacy, his legacy, and Israel,
right,
and his warnings. His warning was, And I'm not saying his warning to me is something I'm going to celebrate, because he also has, as a soldier, questionable history too. But he warned the country that if you don't pursue immediately disengagement from the West Bank and Gaza, you're going to only have a choice for a one-state solution. And he warned that demographically that would erase Israel.
That's what I just said.
Yes, he warned that.
But you don't think that's why he did it.
I didn't say...
You said the reason they pulled out was to expose them as savages.
Now you're saying
the reason they pulled out was because...
You keep making it about one person.
But he was his decision.
No, he's not the king.
It was his decision. Okay. I asked you, why did he do it? You said to make the Arabs look like savages. The current prime minister
is Netanyahu, right? He was at a rally. You could look up this video.
No, you're celebrating to kill Rabin. You cannot just zoom ahead 20 years. Point is that, so Sharon was prime minister and they pulled out. And his intention is, you've been honest about his intention. His intention was to try to have this succeed.
None of us know his intention. We're both analyzing.
What went wrong?
What went wrong? The people with interest in not having peace succeed on both sides manipulated.
No. Gaza immediately started importing arms.
40% children.
And committing.
Just, like, it's a Home Alone. Yeah, and they're buying bazookas.
The 60% who were not children started importing arms.
You think the siege started after that?
Of course.
The siege was immediate.
No. The borders were sealed. All right. Okay. Okay.
Egypt even sealed their border.
Egypt has their own reasons for
Egypt that. Did what we told them, because they're on food aid from us. They would starve without American food aid.
The point is, No, I understand. I receive mine.
You get your rice back.
So yeah, but I think the point here is like what you said, like both sides suffer, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing, and again, it's not like. Israeli 100% everyone want peace, but same thing with Palestinians. You know, I don't think everybody wants peace in the other side. So as much as we have these guys in charge, it's just not going to happen. You know,
I mean, part of it is also just the difference in one. You have a democracy essentially with the greater freedom of information, and just not morally or like ethically judging the populations in any way, but when you have one population that does have more access to information, that has more access to communication, as a result, you're going to have more of those people be at the least aware of the situation and less myopic in their view of the opposition. Whereas just by virtue of even if you believe it's a vindictive thing on Israel's part, just by virtue of being occupied and not having power 3 hours a day, it's also going to be easier to brainwash that population.
Of course. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course.
No. You're actually
so
on a
it shouldn't
very,
be surprising
you're
that
actually
you might
on
have,
a very important thread here, because when you take away from a society and you seal it, who do you think is going to thrive in that society?
Sure.
Yeah.
But then, how do you solve that if you have a population?
But
the seal is not only from Israel, coming from Egypt, Israel. Coming from everything. But my
Egypt
point is
what we say. To
yeah. So it's not only Israel to blame; it's everyone around us that's sealing it. You know, and that's the problem. But my point, what I'm trying to you know talk about in this podcast right now is not necessarily the problem back in Israel and Palestine and how it's solved, because obviously it's very hard. It's the U.S. policy that's always been pro-Israel no matter what they do, you know?
And I would even argue it's not even pro-Israel. It's by saying yes to someone for everything no matter what is not pro. Like, we've all had enablers in our life, all these kind of situations where a friend is someone who sometimes says, you're letting these people around you go too far right now. I'm your friend, listen to me, instead of yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
No,
that's the point. So yeah, so let's go back to the Supreme Court judge. Yes.
Something lighter, something lighter topic.
Moving on, you know. Now he's in. What do you think?
It's amazing. It's amazing that now it just sets the pace that whatever happens now, ever, has to be like a reality show. Mm. Everything now just has to be a reality show. It's just like, I knew that was going to happen. I said, when he was nominated, I said, watch, something's going to happen. It's going to be a little bit of a reality show. I didn't know it was going to be that girl and the whole thing.
Yeah.
But nothing's just smooth anymore. I mean, I remember, I always say this on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, but like, even when Trump went to go meet Kim Jong-un, the whole, there's a, oh no, he might not go. They didn't speak to it. There's always have to be a big buildup to something. It's not just like, take the vote, da da da. No. And it's just, it only makes, and that whole incident just makes the Republicans
what
look
was better. Your thought on that? You weren't here in the podcast, dude, and were you supporting him or no?
Who?
Kavanaugh.
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You have no problem with what he did 39 years
say,
ago.
He may be right that the blockade started prior to the that round of rocket attacks. Go ahead. Good.
Yeah.
I know him.
I want to make sure I don't get it wrong. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So you were
that was just my observation. It's just like,
what do you think is going to happen in the country now? Is it going to be more split or?
Yo, people have already like moved on from it too.
That's the best thing about Trump.
That's he the just flip
moved.
Side.
Oh, don't worry, we're not moved on. We're going to impeach him.
Your five people that you work with haven't moved on, but the rest of America.
You're going to impeach
on.
Kavanaugh.
The majority of Americans don't support Trump. You guys lost.
You impeach Kavanaugh or Trump?
What? Both.
How are you going to get a
You can impeach us.
When you say impeach, you actually mean...
And Clarence Thomas.
You mean remove them from office?
Yeah.
You know you need two-thirds of the Senate to do that.
We're going
to
do it.
But
they got rid of the two-third vote, but yeah, we're going to do it.
They got rid of the two-third vote?
Republicans got rid of... there used to be you need a supermajority for Supreme Court.
Not
stuff,
for impeachment.
Impeachment, they're going to get rid of that probably too. We'll see.
It's in the Constitution. Isn't it in the Constitution, the rules for impeachment? Whatever it is, they're not getting rid of the
I love how you turn to him like he's going to have the answer.
I'm the constitutional scholar.
Well, he has the...
You're confusing the rules of the Senate, the filibuster, with impeachment.
I think...
Definitely the rules for impeaching the president are in the Constitution. I'm not sure about the rules of the Supreme Court.
We're going to see...
It doesn't matter. It's not happening. It's not,
we're seeing is like the death throes of like old... Like,
you know, the polls.
Crusty ideas of like from the past.
Yeah, yeah.
Silver people in power right now are panicking.
So you don't
they're
think
changing
that
voting rights?
At
they're
all?
Changing. No, that's real. They're changing voting rights. They're changing everything in order to advantage them because now they're going to be statistically the minority in the country.
You know, the polls show that the Republicans are going to pick up seats in the Senate.
We'll see.
Totally, and I'll
maybe lose in the
right
House,
now.
But pick up in the Senate.
Yeah, take the House first.
But if they get a seat in the Senate and RBG goes down, they're getting
RBG
now they're
just did 100 push-ups on a documentary.
I mean, good, she's not good dying for her. But like either way, if they pick up seats in the Senate, then they get
so
they're going to get another.
Sotomayor and who else? Kagan, I think, warned that now they're going to get rid of now. It's basically any law that so Trump has now all branches of the government. A government that's designed to be a check and balance is gone.
That doesn't
we
sound
no
like
longer
death
have
throws.
Checks and balances.
It sounded like many times in my life the Democrats control all branches, but you know that the oh shit, I lost my train of thought about the Supreme Court. Oh, then I read that Merrick Garland and Justice Kavanaugh. Voted the they're on the same circuit court. Voted the same way 97 or 98% of the time.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. Meaning that this great Obama judge, who was picked because he was a moderate, to Obama's credit,
right.
He tried to pick somebody that would be palatable to the Republicans, but he's almost indistinguishable in jurisprudence from Kavanaugh. And actually, this NYU law
he was
Cardozo
distinguishable in high school, though.
Yes, in high school he was.
There's some cases
Kavanaugh
that
is not a far
so,
right
like,
wing.
Sometimes when you use percentages, it's very powerful, but. Also, there are certain cases with powerful justices where...
Like what?
Like, for example, with him in particular, he is for, like, the rapid expansion of presidential power. That's, like,
what
reason
case
why...
What was
and,
that?
And any... he's actually... It wasn't a case. It was his paper about the rights a president has. Basically, a president can't ever be a criminal. Like, he could do whatever he wants.
So you think... Cause it was,
and
was
then
it?
Also, there's the immigrant case with the young girl that was caught up by immigration who wanted to get an abortion. And they tried to refuse her to get an abortion. And his position, of course, was that we can force her to have a child.
That sounds like some good reality show shit right there.
It has to be. Otherwise, it doesn't happen.
Right.
What was the first one about?
You seem a little frustrated about, like, the reality, the instability of it. Do you think that's of his making, or you're blaming it on the
president?
No,
he loves it.
Presidential power. Yeah. Well, you know that at the time it's totally flipped because at the time when Bill Clinton was sued for sexual harassment, it was the Democrats who felt that he should not be sued while he's in office.
I'm no fan of Democrats. I'm not here as a Democrat cheerleader.
So they pick and
my
choose.
My whole job every day is fighting Democrats.
But I would say. That it's better if the president is not sued or indicted while he's in office.
Yeah, because first of all, it just clears time up.
He's got to. We need him to run.
All day
the
long, they're chasing him with the, and it goes nowhere.
If you're going to impeach him, impeach him.
If you're going to do the start, but the FBI coming 2 years now. What is it? How long is he in there for?
Yeah,
they haven't left him alone for a minute, and he keeps coming out bigger and bigger and bigger, and their strategy just keeps dying and dying and dying.
So
and they don't get it.
So normally cases take that long.
You're
predicting
it.
That there's going to be some sort of case for President Trump at the Supreme Court, and Kavanaugh is going to be there to protect him. Is that?
I think the first thing I'm predicting is people who never even thought of voting are going to vote, and that we're going to finally have a popular. You agree that we have the popular vote, right?
Who?
Not Trump. That Trump does not have the popular.
Trump
but
lost
that's,
as
that's
of
such
now?
A, but yeah. That's such a moot.
I agree with who. I don't know how the America feels.
No, he lost the popular vote. Trump lost.
I know, in the election. So now.
So did Lincoln, though. Like,
now,
what
the man
that?
Hasn't stopped campaigning.
Lincoln did?
Lincoln
the man
lost
hasn't
the popular
stopped
vote.
Campaigning.
Yeah. Lincoln won thanks to the Electoral College.
I didn't know that.
Well, thanks.
I got a few facts.
Oh, good for you.
There we go. We're not sure.
I never liked that Lincoln.
As of now, I don't know what the popular vote is. You don't know.
No,
you haven't been in the middle of this country. You don't know how this.
No, that's why I was asking you what you think.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think
so. You think he's going to win 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah, by a lot.
Hell
yeah.
No, I think he's going
to
lose.
I mean, at the very least, it sounds delusional to hear the same thing over and over.
You think he's going to win?
Yep.
What about you, Boris?
You think Trump's going to win?
I think
thought you just
now,
said we're the death throes of the...
As of now...
I think it's likely.
Because the Democrats cannot pull their shit together. They need to play the game.
This is the...
Play reality show. So you can't be bringing up Booker and Schmucker. You got to bring up literally... Our next candidate is RuPaul. That's the... And
you know,
I'm not even
after
kidding.
Will
after
Smith. George Bush, when they premiered the Star Trek movie, everyone thought Captain Kirk's going to be the one that everyone looks up and like fangirls over and stuff like that. It was Spock. So there's this thing, the reaction to stupidity, to be attracted to that bookworm, to be attracted to that person who's an analyzer, who's wise and this and calm and shit like that. So we're going to see that. We're going to see that clock go back from this idiot and all this entertainment stuff and stuff like that to someone who is a policy nerd, who cares about people, who comes
And he's going to lose.
No,
that the first time he's going to lose.
Yeah.
Who do you think would be the strongest Democratic opposition to Trump?
Right now?
Yeah.
Bloomberg?
Bernie Sanders. So, so you think that this right-wing... Trump is going to win.
Yeah.
But this left-wing guy would be the most... Why would...
Because our voting system is broken.
Right, but who would be the candidate to most likely be able to peel votes away from Trump?
Yeah, if I thought of it that way, it would be someone who is going to appeal to the center more. Yeah. But there's also this school of thought, like with Hillary and other people who lost... That the Democrats aren't, and this is all theories, right? None of us know.
Nobody knows.
That the Democrats aren't creating contrast, you know, with the Republicans. They're taking the same donors. Sometimes they're saying the same things. No one is coming with the populist argument. And Bannon has been arguing, even though his end is very different, it's like just for white people, but he's arguing that the Republicans should embrace that populist thing and shut down Wall Street and shut out the banks and all of that kind of stuff. He knows that. And his biggest fear, he's going to say, is that the left is going to do that before the right does it. That's his biggest fear. And now his biggest fear is that women are going to do it before the right does it.
Yeah, he said that women are going to take over.
Yeah.
So who's going to be the candidate for Democrats? Anybody have an idea?
My list is all the people I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I say it will be Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, God. I'll double up all my Trump bets that he'll win. You can't look at that. You can't look at that for 4 years. America does not want to look at that for 4 years.
What's wrong with Elizabeth Warren?
Google it.
Google what?
Oh, Modi.
That's the reality.
You think Trump looks attractive?
He
looks like a tanned anus.
It's a full-blown show. It's a show.
Oh, he's
crazy.
A comedian. Yeah, he's a comedian.
It's amazing. He won and that's what America wants.
He did. Yeah.
America doesn't want Elizabeth Warren. They tried that to help Hillary.
No, don't compare Elizabeth. Elizabeth Warren is way better candidate than Hillary.
I agree.
What about Bloomberg?
That would if Bloomberg ran, then I put the money on Bloomberg, but he's not running.
Yes, he is.
He's considering it.
He just resigned.
He just registered as a Democrat.
Yeah. Today.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Today he did.
So maybe he was trying to pull a Taylor Swift to get people to vote.
That could.
Would you support Bloomberg or Trump?
Bloomberg, way over Trump.
Thank God.
Way over Trump.
Would you vote for Trump or Bloomberg or Elizabeth Warren. You vote for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
But you'd be okay with Bloomberg.
Bet anyone more than Trump, yeah, but... You know,
you don't think Bloomberg's are, you think Bloomberg's a racist?
No.
You think Bloomberg wants the country to be all about white people?
No. I think Bloomberg is all about good choices. An elitist, but
that's okay.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Who would you vote for, Noam?
I would vote for Bloomberg.
Yeah. Boris.
I don't know. I don't know if I probably wouldn't
vote. If your choice was Bloomberg or Trump, who would it be?
I probably wouldn't vote, but more likely Bloomberg.
Yeah. But anybody else but Bloomberg, I would vote for Trump. Over Elizabeth Warren, over or any one of those Democrats.
The thing about Trump to me is that I don't really, like, you know, I asked somebody recently and they really got upset, kind of like if you woke up and didn't know who the president was, like, what would you look to indicate that this president was horrible? Like just looking out at the world, like, so far nothing bad has happened. The country's doing fine. The thing is, Trump is so risky. He's so risky that I'd prefer that he's not in office. But I do think that, and he's embarrassing and he's mean. You know,
the climate change report that just came out is a good indicator.
There's nothing any American president is going to do to affect climate change. Nothing. This Nobel guy just won the Nobel Prize. He actually said there's nothing.
Which Nobel Prize?
The guy, the UN guy.
The left is celebrating.
Yeah, the UN, the Paris Accords wouldn't make any change.
He's an
economist, and his standard for
that's not even a Nobel, but
his standard for like when Nobel. We should actually do something is like well below.
It's Barnes and Noble.
It's Barnes and Noble.
The point is that China,
it's a PR stunt to make it sound like a Nobel.
Unless China and India and the rest of the developing world are ready to get away from fossil fuels, this is out of Trump's control, and it's going to be out of the next president. It was out of Obama's control. The next Elizabeth Warren's not going to have any better luck than Obama did in stopping climate change. Obama talked about climate change 8 years ago. We'll stop the waters from rising. Remember that speech? 8 years, he had no impact. I'm not blaming him. Not possible. But anyway, I think that Trump is just very, very risky, and that's why I would want to have him out. But I think that people actually trying to say that the country's, you know, so horrible, so changed, or whatever it is, I don't think there's much to point to.
He wants to definitely be the last president of this country.
The last president?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He's already hinted that.
What does that mean?
What?
He doesn't see another president after him.
Oh, come on.
Where are you getting this?
To become a dictatorship?
Of course.
From a t-shirt. And no.
So this is who he praises. I believe what he says. Every campaign promise that he's made, he's pulled through, except for the ones for the working people.
So let me tell you something. You may be right, but you should advise everybody you know to not go on television and say any of this stuff, because that is really how Trump wins.
Yeah.
When people listen to something like that, they're like, they are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not giving them the...
I mean, I've heard people mention that, because there's a clip of him literally jokingly saying, like, we should do that, and he laughs, and everyone in the crowd laughs. And there were so many articles that were like Trump, like alarmist titles that don't mention any context, that say Trump thinks, like, literally, like you just said, that he wants to be president for life. And it sounds like,
but it's not gonna,
it sounds so intentionally manipulative. Or just bad shit when you hear the clip and you're like, oh.
But what he means is he was laughing.
If you look at people who study the rise of fascism throughout history, this is all they're all the ones that are pointing to all of the things he's saying.
Yeah,
it's
but
not
he's
just one clip.
All right, well,
it's also policy.
So let's talk about that. We have to go. So practically speaking, in order that could only happen at the point of a gun.
Yeah, what he means is Ivanka Trump after him. That's what he means.
Also, if that's the case, why does the left want to disarm?
Yeah.
That's a good point. I wonder about that every day. So, in other words, there'll be Trump will try to do something, executive action, and the Supreme Court will overturn it, or Congress will. And then at some point, Trump has to say, no, ignore the courts, ignore the Congress, do what I say. And then the people who have guns are going to have to come out on Trump's side.
Do you think most of the people who have guns are on Trump's side?
I think that from what we know, reading Woodward's book, is that all the military people who stay in the cabinet are staying there precisely to protect the country from this kind of thing. You would have to believe that there's some urge on the part of the generals to end democracy. And I think that's just fucking batshit crazy.
I think that is batshit crazy, but he's reshuffling the generals. He's reshuffling the Supreme Court.
You need soldiers to come. Fascism is a military rule. You can't. It's going to be the end of the rule of law at the point of a gun.
It happens overnight. And as both of us as Jews,
it happened in.
We always have it early. The
dude,
indicators to us.
It happened
and
in
it's
Nazi.
Already
it happened in Nazi Germany. I'm sure you know your history. When Germany was in shambles, they were using money to keep themselves warm. Treaty of Versailles. I mean, the German people. That doesn't happen in countries at the peak of their economic and freedom. And
Jews in Germany. And during that time, it was the Renaissance for Jews in Germany. And Germany was the epitome of, like, in Europe. It was the leader in cinema, leader in industry, leader in everything. That's when it happened. It didn't happen.
Germany was the leader of industry post-World
War I? Their economy was in shambles.
They Germany back then was the daughter-in-law.
The Jews recovered.
You
need to read your history.
There's some antisemitism.
Keeping Shabbat.
Hitler.
Do you hear yourself when you're saying this stuff?
Hold on. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Wait, did you say that's anti-Semitism?
I didn't say what you're saying. I'm saying that that's the narrative of anti-Semitism.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Boris.
That only the Jews did well.
That Hitler got support because he insisted on fighting against, ignoring the economy was tied down mm-hmm. by the Treaty of Versailles and all the reparations, the ridiculous demands that were made on Germany after World War I.
Like what Trump is saying with NAFTA.
So to say that Germany was booming at the time. This is
in terms of Europe, it was.
They had just lost World War One.
It wasn't just World War One.
Yeah,
it was, and they still recovered. And then even 20 years after World War Two, they recovered.
They recovered under Hitler.
Well, they recovered also after World War Two because we learned our lesson and allowed them to recover between the U.S. and Russia.
We paid them. We paid the white people, and then we nuked the brown people.
We all know Hitler did some good things and bad things. So let's.
I got to brush over my post World War One history because my understanding was that Nazi Germany was a disaster. Pre Nazi Germany,
as was Austria.
I urge you to watch that. To Michael was here in the past, right?
Michael Moore. Yeah, I got on.
I urge you to watch the Fahrenheit 11/9, and he makes a brilliant like narrative exactly of this. And
got really good reviews.
Yeah, it's
not.
It did. It had amazing reviews.
It's number one.
Is it out now?
Certified fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the number one documentary ever.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
I like him. I and we didn't disagree on actually as much as I thought we would.
I think Trump 2020 is going to be Trump, Nikki Haley.
Then
he's gonna win. Yeah, I think she's gonna run as a vice president.
Like, are we done?
Yeah. Anybody? Thank you guys very much, Boris. You want to share your
At the Boris K.
Rafael.
At Rafael Shimonov. Shimunov.
Modi.
At Modi _ live.
Do you have the contact of the cab driver?
Okay. Can we get him on next week?
And live from AmericaPodcast.com. Thank you.
You need to check your World War.
Yeah. All right, let's talk. But watch it, and we'll talk after you watch. Seriously.
Michael Moore makes amazing documentaries, but they're all schmuggled into the
what
way.
What do you think of the Sacha Baron Cohen, the new?
It's the best.
It's amazing.
Do you like the idea?
Amazing. Well, he gets him to dance naked. He gets him to... It's the craziest shit.
There's a few dozen.
You saw the one where he's in the middle of that town where he's telling him we're going to have a mosque and all that shit. That's America. That's America. Do you think Trump is not going to win again?
I think
he won't win.
He's going to destroy.
I said Trump is going to win.
I don't think
he's going to destroy. I just think it's like broken system.
I personally alone could help the Democrats with no problem. I get their candidate in. If I was...